Yeshaya Perachov Aleph Ilui Nishbas Avim Ori Pesel Dovid Ben Avram Nata. So now we move on to Masa Midbar Yom, a prophecy on the west of the desert. The west of the desert is the great desert to the east of Eretz Yisrael. It's the Arabian desert that you come all the way to the end by traveling west, and eventually then you hit the Transjordan and you hit Eretz Yisrael. So on the one hand, this seems to be a burdensome prophecy about the Arabian nations on the Arabian Peninsula off to the east of Eretz Yisrael. But it becomes clear, based on the descriptions and the Mefarshim's take on this parak, that this is a prophecy on Bavel, and it's the destruction of Babylon to the point where it is going to become rendered into a desert by divine decree. So Masa Midbar Yom, a prophecy on the west of the desert, Yam meaning westward, Midbar the great wilderness, Kisufos Banegev, Lachalof Mimidbar, as desert storms passing through, coming from the desert, Ba Me Eretz No Ra'a, coming from a fearsome place. So the destruction of Bavel is going to be even more fearsome than the other destructions that we've already been describing, the destruction of Egypt, the destruction of Moab, all of these different destructions of these nations that rise and fall. So Klal Yisrael remains, even as these other nations do rise and fall and destroy each other in the ongoing political fighting for power that is eternal, that never seems to stop. So the prophecies of doom, more than any other nations, are directed at Ashur and Bavel, because both of them were rather notorious for the cruelty they showed toward the Jewish people, the destruction that Ashur visited upon the Asar Shvatim, the Chorban that Bavel perpetrated on the Beis HaMikdash. So their destruction is going to be described at great length. Now, Bavel, of course, is way to the north of Eretz Yisrael, to the northeast in the Iraqi neighborhood, sitting between the two great rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And to the east is this huge desert, and beyond the desert are the Medes and the Persians, and those are the ones who are going to overthrow Bavel like a storm. Interesting, maybe, that the phrase desert storm comes from here, which would be interesting as we talk about the Iraq War happening in the same area as Bavel. So Norman Schwarzkopf was more apt than perhaps he even knew, as he rendered tremendous destruction on the same area that in Yeshaya is going to be destroyed. Utterly destroyed, erased by the desert storms, buried under the great sand dunes of the desert. Pasuk Beis, Chazus Kasha Hu Gadli. A harsh vision has been told to me, or has been shown to me. Ha bogeid bogeid, v'ha shodeid shodeid. The betrayer will be betrayed. The one that sacked, that looted, will itself be looted. Beautiful phrasing. Ali Elam. Rise up, Elam. Tsuri Modai. Lay siege, Media. The Medes. Kol Anchosa Hishbati. I have silenced all of her moaning. Bavel betrayed all of her allies by sacking them and breaking the pacts that they had made. And in return, Bavel would be betrayed by nations that had served them and be sacked by nations that they had not ruled over, namely Parasu Modai. We're about to, as I record this, we're getting ready for Purim, about to lay in the Megillah. Parasu Modai, that's a very big deal, considering that Achashverosh is the emperor of the empire that whacked Bavel over time. Babylon itself could not be captured because it was so heavily fortified. But as we know, we will learn later on in Nach from the great stories of Belshazzar, the night of the last final huge party and festival, the writing on the wall, when the people of Bavel were busy getting drunk on wine, traitors opened up the city doors and allowed the enemy in. So it's a Trojan horse, but it's a fifth column within. And Bavel will fall, all the moaning that they caused to others will be silenced, because nobody's going to moan for Bavel when Bavel finally goes down. Pasuk Gimel, Alkein Molu Mosnai, Chalchola Tzirim. And therefore, my innards are filled with tremors. Chalchola Tzirim Achazuni Kitsire Yoleda. Spasms are seizing me like a birthing mother. Na'avesi mishmoa nivhalti meraos. I have become sick from what I am hearing and alarmed by the sight. When a Navi has a vision, the vision takes complete hold of all of his senses. And so Yeshaya shares in the pangs of Bavel. And you would think, why would you be at all sympathetic? We said that nobody's going to moan for Bavel, right? Yeshaya moans for Bavel. Yeshaya is empathic towards the great suffering that is being visited upon the Babylonians. And while he would love to be thrilled by the liberation of Yehuda, seeing this is too much. The horror marking the downfall of Bavel. He is also sickened, the Mefarshim say, the Ma'amloes brings down, by the blasphemies of Belshazzar, where he used the great vessels, the great kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, for this party. And the party that Belshazzar had, the Mefarshim tell us later when we do the Nach inside, is because 70 years had passed and he had understood the Limud that there would be 70 years of Galus and the Geula had not yet come. And then when Yeshaya sees the writing on the wall, quite literally, and hearing the terrible interpretation that Daniel Hanavi is going to give to them, he's really worn out by this and the horror of it. Pasuk Dalet Ta'alavavi, my heart is confused. Palotsus bi asasni, terror has gripped me. Ace Neshef Chishki, sum li lacharodah, my night of pleasure was transformed into horror. As if he's speaking for Belshazzar, who was partying it up. And now his pleasure party celebrating victory has turned into the great moment of tragedy and triumph of his enemy overcoming him. Neshef also can mean, Rabbi Hirsch says, the moment when dawn and dusk meet. Dusk is right turning into night. Dawn is when night turns into morning. And the Neshef at that moment is when everything suddenly goes sideways on him. And finally, Pasuk Hey, Aruch HaShulchan. Interesting that this is where we get Aruch HaShulchan. The table was set. Safo HaTzafis. The scouts, the guards, the lookouts were keeping alert. Achol Shaso. While they were eating and drinking. Kumu HaSarin Mishchu Magen. Rise up, generals. Oil your shields. So the handwriting on the wall told that Belshazzar was going to die that night. And the guards were ordered to behead anybody they found roaming outside. But Belshazzar himself was completely ill from stuffing himself, from his gluttonous feast. And he left the palace in of all horrifying ways to relieve himself. And he was caught by his own guards and beheaded on the way back. As the guards shouted in panic, rise to battle, protect yourselves, we're being invaded. So you watch out what orders you give, because you can be quite literally hoist on your own petard.